Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our series from the book of Hebrews, and we're glad that you're with us. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, you're all set, we're all set, and Bob Christopher, I'm assuming you're set.
Well, I am set, and yes. Really excited about today's lesson in Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to go from Hebrews 10, 19, all the way through the end of the chapter today. And we're getting to the point in the chapter where the writer is moving us to a response. Mm-hmm. So all throughout the first 9, 10 and a half chapters, we've seen Jesus first as our prophet. So Jesus is the final word from God to man. He's God's highest word to man, and it's in Jesus that we have salvation, as we read in an earlier chapter. He is the source of eternal salvation for all who believe. So that's his role as the prophet. He's that message that we all need to hear, that we've all longed to hear, that we all want to receive into our hearts. So that's Jesus. We've also seen him as our priest. So the priesthood has changed. We have a new high priest. His name is Jesus, and he offered himself once for all to take away the sins of the world. So he's taken away your sins. He's taken away my sins. And boy, is that good news. And then through that sacrifice, he has opened the way into God's presence. So when Jesus died and said, "It is finished," and then he gave up his spirit into thy hands, "I commit my spirit," something happened in the temple. That curtain was torn from top to bottom. And what was that signifying? That the way into God's presence was now available. We have access to God. That wasn't the case in the old covenant, but it is the case in the new covenant. So Jesus has served very well as our high priest and continues to serve as our high priest. And then the third thing that we've seen about this Jesus is that he is king. So he's prophet, priest, and king. Those are the three roles that we see Jesus playing in this wonderful book called the Book of Hebrews. So as king, he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. That's a position of authority. And at the right hand of God the Father, he is mediating this new covenant, this covenant in which we live in. So that's Jesus. So we've seen him in these roles. We've seen what he's accomplished for us. Now what? What is our response to this truth? And that's really the subject matter of Hebrews 10, 19, all the way through the end of the chapter. It is our response to the truth. So let me just read these first four or five verses, and then we'll have some discussion about that. "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So I love this, that as Jesus has fulfilled these different roles as prophet, priest, and king, it does something for us. So it says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places." So this work of Jesus puts a confidence in our hearts. And this is a very interesting word, isn't it, Richard?
Yeah, it literally means to be able to speak plainly or to make an assertion, to have no fear of expressing what's on your mind. Think about that in the context here of God being able to walk in and talk to him as if he were a friend, face-to-face, and share ideas.
Yeah, and that's what we're so frightened to do.
Yes.
We're frightened to speak openly in our relationship with God. We're afraid to really let him know what we're really like, what we're really struggling with. I don't know why, but we are. Mm-hmm. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of punishment. We want to hide behind masks. That's what we are in our relationship with God. That's exactly what Adam and Eve did after they sinned. They hid from God. Why? Because they were afraid. And we do the same thing. We try to hide from God. But this blood of Jesus, this shed blood of Jesus, is the very thing that gives us confidence to take the mask off and to not hide from God, not try to avoid him. It's the very thing that empowers us and emboldens us to go into the throne of grace, calling him Daddy Father. And as we read in Hebrews chapter 4, we go into the throne of grace to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. Well, it's the blood of Jesus that gives us that confidence. So the way has been opened to us. Jesus shed his blood. That was the opening into God's presence. His blood gives us the confidence to enter. So we're not going in on our own confidence.
Oh, not at all.
You know, we're not going to speak freely, you know, just out of our own self-efforts. We're going to speak freely because of the blood of Jesus. And the fact that the blood of Jesus, as we learned in Hebrews chapter 9, was the very thing that cleansed our consciences from dead works to serve the living God. Mm-hmm. So these consciences have been cleansed once and for all. Now, that's important for us to really understand and to really embrace, that we have a clean conscience. Now, what exactly does that mean, Richard? When we say we have a clean conscience, does that mean that every thought, that everything in our consciences now are pure and, you know, always godly? Or does it mean that our consciences have been washed clean of that fear, that shame, that guilt that we had because of our sins?
Well, unfortunately, it's the latter. I would like to believe that I'll never have another bad thought the rest of my life, but that's truly not what it's talking about. This is the kind of clean conscience that allows us to crawl out from behind the bushes where we were hiding with Adam and Eve and to say, hello, Father. Hello, Dad. You know, we say this a lot. This changes everything.
Right.
I'm so not afraid that I don't have to offer up anything. He's just interested in me personally and you personally. That's awesome.
Right. It really is awesome. And I think of it in terms of an athlete with a coach. If an athlete and a coach have a great relationship, the athlete knows that he's not going to perform at his peak every single moment of every single play in a game. Mm-hmm. There's going to be down cycles in the play and that sort of thing. It's in those down cycles, if there's a good relationship, the athlete can go to the coach and say, hey, I'm not feeling it right now. Help me out. What's going wrong? So he can speak openly to his coach, knowing that the coach has his best interest at heart, and the coach is going to help him move through that and get back to peak performance. And that's exactly what we have with God. When things are going great, we can go boldly to him. When things are not going so great, we can go boldly to him, knowing that he has our best interest at heart, and that he can talk us through that. He can give us the truth that we need. He can give us the correction we need. And that correction is so that we can have a harvest of righteousness. So that's the confidence that we have. So our response to all this, or we see it in three parts here in this particular section. Draw near to God.
Yeah.
There's nothing to fear. All the obstacles have been removed. Your conscience has been cleansed. So draw near to God. That's the first thing. The second thing is to hold unswervingly to the hope that you now have in Christ. that just as Christ is seated at the right hand of God, we're seated with him in the heavenlies, and we know that that's going to be our eternal place, always with Jesus Christ. That's our hope. So that hope is to shape our here and now, how we live as believers. So hold unswervingly to that hope, and then encourage one another. Assemble together, meet with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and encourage one another, stimulate each other to love and good deeds. This is our response to this work of Jesus as prophet, priest, and king that we experience in this covenant that he is mediating called the New Covenant. Yeah. It's a powerful, powerful thing. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Richard Pfeiffer is here. We are studying through the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. This has just been a marvelous series. If you are just now joining us in this, you can go back and listen to all the archived messages. Those are available on our website at basicgospel.net. We also have notes there that you can download and follow along with some of the points that we are making. And this is just an awesome thing for your own personal growth in Jesus Christ. But also, if you're involved in teaching others and would like to teach through the book of Hebrews, these messages each and every week plus the notes would be a great resource for you to communicate this good news to your Sunday school class, a home Bible study, whatever it might be. Yeah. So take advantage of that resource. And just a quick reminder, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We rely on contributions from people just like you to help continue to get the good news out through the airwaves and through the other media channels that we use. So we need your help. The world needs to hear this gospel message. Come and join us. Be a partner with Basic Gospel. All the information on how you can do that is available at basicgospel.net. And we have a wonderful package of information that we're going to send you this month. It's called the Simply Grace Package. It includes my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and two wonderful CD messages that will really help you drive a stake as far as your assurance of salvation is concerned, and really help you get a feel for what eternal life here and now is really all about. So be sure and request the Simple Grace Package when you go to basicgospel.net and make your donation, or by calling 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Well, Richard, let's get back to our study, and we're coming up on a section that is really a difficult section for many people, but when you look at the context, it's not difficult at all. No. It's just very straightforward. And the passage reads this, is 10:26, Hebrews 10:26, "For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth," a lot of people will just stop right there and say, uh-oh,
yeah,
I'm doomed. Yeah. I'm doomed. Because we all sin deliberately. I mean, that's not something we just do by mistake.
I have never sinned deliberately. So,
we make those choices. We make those choices to give in to temptation, to give in to the desires of the flesh. That's us making those decisions. It doesn't make sense that we're making those decisions in light of who we are in Christ, but still we make those decisions because we're weak in and of ourselves. That's why we need to learn to trust Jesus and the power of his resurrection in and through us. But we choose to sin. So we look at this and we think, oh my gosh, I have chosen to sin deliberately. Does that mean I'm doomed? And if you don't understand what he's saying here, then that's a conclusion. But that's not the conclusion. That is not what this passage is teaching at all.
Yeah, one of my favorite Bible dictionaries has it this way, things done designedly and deliberately in the face of better knowledge. What have we been studying? Better knowledge.
Yes.
Jesus is better. His sacrifice was better. And this kind of sin is not where I stubbed my toe and said, I didn't say it. I may have thought it, but at least I didn't say it, right? This is looking at Jesus and saying, no, I don't think so.
Right.
Don't think you're enough.
Yeah, as one commentator said, it's this high-handedness toward God. It's this rejection of Jesus Christ. So if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, that truth that has been delivered is the truth about Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. that he is the final word from God to man, that in him is a great salvation, that in him is forgiveness of sins, that in him his sacrifice has taken away our sins once and for all, and that he has ushered in a brand new covenant. So that's the truth that's been delivered.
Yes.
Now, if you keep on deliberately sinning, what you're doing is saying no to Jesus. You're rejecting Jesus. So this sin that he's talking about is the sin of unbelief. If you continue to live in your unbelief, continue rejecting Jesus Christ, then there's some horrible consequences that follow. And that's what he wants to tell us. So if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. So if you're going to reject the sacrifice of Jesus, there's no other sacrifice that's going to come along that's going to be better than that.
Yeah.
Because only the sacrifice of Jesus took away our sins. So if you're rejecting the sacrifice of Jesus, all you have left is a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. So you're dead spiritually. You're rejecting this offer of life, so you will remain dead spiritually, and that will be your final judgment.
Remain condemned.
Yes.
Not become condemned, remain condemned.
We remain. That's how we come into this world. Yeah. That gets reversed through faith in Jesus Christ and this new life that he gives us. But if we reject that, and that's who he's talking to, he's not talking to Christians. So if you've ever thought that this passage was directed to you as a believer in Christ, it is not. It is speaking to unbelievers. It's very, very, very clear here. So anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. So that was the judgment of the law. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace?
Yeah.
So this isn't a Christian.
No, this is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
That's exactly right. So this is saying to those who reject Christ, then there's no other sacrifice that you can count on. You can't count on the blood of bulls and goats. They can't take away sins. They may cover them up for a little bit, but they can't take them away. They can't cleanse the conscience. They can't perfect you. They can't make you holy. Only the sacrifice of Jesus Christ can do that. So he goes on to say, "For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay.' And again, the Lord will judge or vindicate his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." So if you're dead spiritually and you reject the only offer of Christ, it's a very fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God.
Oh.
For us who are in Christ, who are alive, it's a precious thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Why? Because that's where he's put us. We're in the hand of God, and we're in the hand of Jesus, and no one can snatch us out.
Yes.
So we're in the right hands because we're alive. But if we reject, for those who reject Christ, it's not a good thing to fall into his hands. And that's exactly what he's saying here. So don't look at this as a passage that can teach that you can lose salvation. There have been many throughout the history of the church that have taught that. Some have believed that this deliberate sin were sexual sins, and some have even said, well, maybe you can repent one time, but if you do it again, you're doomed.
Sorry.
And boy, we would all be doomed if that was the case, but it's not the case. Christ has cleansed our consciences. He has set us free. He has given us new life. So we are in Jesus. His work as prophet, priest, and king has been effective in our lives. So there's absolutely nothing for us to fear, and that's good news.
Sure is.
That is such good news. Now, once he's gotten through that, now he wants to bring us back to a word of encouragement. Mm-hmm. Said, for those of you who have responded to this truth, you've drawn near to God, you're holding unswervingly to that hope that you profess, and you're meeting together with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage and stimulate them to love and good deeds. Now, let's take that further. Let's take this word of encouragement just a little further. So he says in verse 32, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. So he's saying, listen, you received this word of God, and it was so deep within your hearts, you were willing to suffer and to be exposed to public reproach and those sort of things. You endured all of that. Yes. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. That means this work of Jesus through prophet, priest, and king has made its way deep within your heart and soul. He is alive there, and he is giving you the endurance to handle that struggle, that suffering, those trials, those tribulations that are coming your way. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession, an abiding one.
Yes.
And he's already talked about that. Mm-hmm. We have this eternal inheritance that's a part of this new covenant. We have the promise that when Christ returns, he's not going to bear sin at that time. He's going to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. That final peace when we get resurrected bodies and we're with him forever and he is in our presence forever. So we have those wonderful promises, and that's that hope that we have.
Yeah.
And so he's saying, hey, you know you have something better than what the world has to offer, and that's a great thing. And he's saying, continue in that confidence. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Don't let that struggle, don't let those trials and those tribulations cloud your thinking as to what you really have in Christ Jesus. And sometimes it can it?
Yeah. Yeah, but here, I mean, it's the same way, it's exactly the same word, confidence. Don't throw away your ability, Christ-given ability, to approach the throne and speak your mind.
Right.
Stay in communication with God.
Right. Because everything is still true.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus has taken away your sins once and for all. Everything is still true. It's unchangeable. It is your constant in life. So don't throw away that confidence. So this isn't about throwing away your salvation. This isn't about walking away. This is about being overwhelmed sometimes by the circumstances of life and forgetting and thinking, oh, no, this might be a judgment of God. This might be a punishment for something that I've done. Well, none of that is true. It's not true at all. Why? Because your sins have been punished once and for all. God did everything in Jesus. So don't throw away that confidence, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. That's Jesus. But my righteous one shall live by faith. What's our response to the truth? Living by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ. Says, my soul has no pleasure in him who shrinks back, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve the souls for the salvation of the souls. That's a great word of encouragement. You haven't shrunk back. Even in light of all the things that are going on in this world, you have said, I'm sticking with Jesus. And that's good news. Well, thank you so much for studying along with us today in this great chapter. Wish we had more time.
Yeah.
to go into it in even more detail. But we'll be back next week to continue this study. We'll be back Monday for another live edition. We'll look forward to seeing you then. Have a great weekend in the Lord Jesus.